I'm going to ask you now to please turn with me in your Bible to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. We've just begun a new series in the book of Galatians entitled Good News for You, in which we want to explore together the good news of the gospel in the book of Galatians. Our passage this morning is from Galatians chapter 2. As we consider together the gospel and relationships. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Let's hear God's word. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately, before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so they might bring us into slavery, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when I saw that when they saw that I'd been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised were also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews?" Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, please keep us from just doing church. Lord, we're here this morning because we want more than just doing church. Lord, we want to worship you. And we need answers, and we need help, and we need your power, and we need your spirit. We need to be renewed. We have very practical struggles and challenges. And Lord, we need you. And so we pray for that, Lord, that you would speak clearly and that we would hear just what you would have us to believe and what you want us to do, Lord. We pray that you would minister to us this morning as we hear your word together. We pray for that and for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Relationships are tricky. You know, maybe you find you got lots of acquaintances and not very many close friends. Or maybe you're really good at getting things done, but somehow it seems like you end up somehow pushing people away. Or maybe the people you really like are not really interested in spending time with you, and the people who want to hang around you are not really the people you like. Relationships are tricky. And we're not even going to pretend this morning to have all the answers. We're not even going to try to look at all the questions. Okay, but we at least want to begin the conversation this morning, begin thinking about the gospel and relationships, how the good news of Jesus Christ should change the way you approach and think about the relationships in your life. Okay, the good news of Jesus Christ should change the way you approach and think about the relationships in your life. Namely, the gospel sets you free to respect, to appreciate, to to love the people in your life. It sets you free to honor and respect other people without being enslaved to them. Okay, look with me at our text this morning, beginning at verse 1. Paul says, "Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me." Okay, when we left off last time, Paul has just told us that he left Jerusalem and he went out to Syria and Cilicia, okay, and he went out preaching, okay, the gospel. So he left Jerusalem and he went out to Syria and Cilicia. Now he says 14 years later, he decides to come back. Okay, for 14 years he's been out there preaching. Now he decides to come back to Jerusalem, and he tells us why in verse 2. He says, I went up to Jerusalem because of a revelation. All right? Remember, Paul's an apostle, and so among other things, that means he received messages directly from God. Okay? So somehow God revealed to Paul, time to go back. Okay? You've been away for 14 years, time to go back to Jerusalem. Maybe it was through a dream, maybe it was through a vision, but whatever it was, God made it known to Paul. It was time to go back. And so Paul says, I went up to Jerusalem because of a revelation, and set before them, though privately, before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles. Now, remember, we've already seen that the gospel is good news. That's what the word gospel means. It's good news. It's exciting. It's refreshing. It's invigorating, because the gospel is not primarily about you, and it's not one more thing you got to do. The gospel is primarily about God. It's about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's already done for you. And that's really good news. Okay, the gospel is that Jesus gave his life on the cross for you. That Jesus died for our pride. He died because of our pride and our guilt. The gospel is that Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that God's blessing and his peace might come to you for free. Okay, that's the gospel, okay? That God's blessing and his peace come to you in Jesus for free. That is really good news. And that's what Paul has been telling everybody in Syria and Cilicia. Well, now he comes back to Jerusalem. He meets with the other apostles, and he tells them just what he's been preaching. And he tells us why. He says, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. Paul came back to Jerusalem and met with the apostles because he was afraid that maybe somehow all the things he's been doing has been a waste. All these 14 years of preaching, he's afraid maybe has been in vain. And so he goes back and he meets with the other apostles in Jerusalem and shares with them what he's been preaching, because he's afraid that maybe it's all been a waste. There's a couple of possibilities here. Maybe Paul is meeting with the other apostles just to make sure he hasn't gotten off track. Okay. Yes, he's an apostle. Yes, he received his message directly from God. Yes, we saw last week that he didn't have to go around to the other apostles and ask them what to believe. He knew the gospel. And yet, we all need each other. Okay? We all need fellowship. And we all need accountability, even an apostle. Okay, and so maybe Paul came back to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles to just make sure that he hadn't gotten off track. He's been off on his own for 14 years, and maybe he came back because he needed that fellowship and that accountability. Okay, we all need each other. And sometimes what you really need are other people that are a lot like you. Okay, if you're a young mom, sometimes you need to be with other young Christian moms who are going through the same things, who have the same problems, and the same. Sometimes you need to be Christian people, just like yourself, to get that support and that understanding. Sometimes we need that. You know, Paul was out in Syria. He had Barnabas. He had Titus. But they weren't apostles. And so maybe one reason Paul came back to Jerusalem was he needed some time with apostles, with some people who understood what it was like to be an apostle. Sometimes you need time with other Christian people like yourself. And sometimes you need to be with people who are completely different than you. Okay, in some ways, Paul was like the other apostles because they were all apostles. In some ways, Paul was totally different. you know, the other apostles had known each other for years. And they had, remember, they had been with Jesus from the beginning. And so they had lived in the same house with Jesus. They had eaten meals with him. They'd been together every day for like 3 years. Paul was nothing like that. Paul didn't become an apostle until much later. And so in a lot of ways, he was very different than the other apostles. Sometimes you need to be with Christians that are just like you, and sometimes you need to be with Christians that are totally different than you, okay? Because Christians who have your same perspective and your same issues and your same problems are not always going to be able to help you the way somebody else could, okay? Sometimes you need to be with a Christian who's totally different than you. Okay, like that really artsy lady who's really kind of out there, or the numbers guy or the computer guy, somebody totally different than you, because he has a different perspective and he's going to see things that you don't see. Okay, sometimes you need to be with someone totally different than you. Okay, our temptation is to always hang with other Christians like us, my age, my generation, my personality. But sometimes you're going to get the most out of Christians that are different than you. Okay, Christians that are most different from you are often the ones you need the most. If you're not living in relationship with other Christians, okay, and I mean sometimes Christians that are similar to you in personality or interest, and some who are different. If you're not living in relationship with other Christians, you're isolating yourself from one of the means that God uses to help you grow. I know you've got your Bible. That's great, and you can pray. You know what? Paul was an apostle. He had messages directly from God, but he still needed fellowship. He still needed accountability. If you're not living in a relationship with other Christians, and I mean meaningful, where you really talk and you open up your life and you open up your home or you're in people's houses, if you're not living in a relationship with other Christians, some who are like you and some totally different, you're cutting yourself off from one of the main things that God will use to help you grow. You should have at least one relationship with someone who is free to tell you when you need to change, okay? Now, you don't want that with everybody. You don't want everybody in the congregation coming up giving you their advice and their 2 cents worth, okay? It's like you wouldn't let just anybody borrow the keys of your car. But there's some people that you need to let in. You need at least one relationship where you give someone the keys of your heart, and that is, you're giving them the freedom to say, Claude, you're just way off base. You are out of your mind. You need at least one person in your life that you trust, who has good judgment, who has the freedom to say to you, you are dead wrong, knowing that you won't walk away and you won't get angry, but they're free to do that. You need that. Okay? Paul is an apostle. And yet he's willing to meet with these other guys and lay out before them what he's been preaching and giving them the opportunity to tell him, you are wrong. Okay? See, we spend most of our life trying to build ourselves up, okay? Trying to make us feel better about ourselves. Okay? It's just like every company has an advertising department or a public relations department. Their job is to make their products look good. Okay, your heart has its own advertising department. Okay, and it spends a lot of time trying to promote you. We do a lot of things to try to make ourselves feel better about ourselves and make other people think better about ourselves. And sometimes we do that by putting other people down. Okay, at least I'm not like her. At least I don't do that. Okay, sometimes we try to build ourselves up by putting other people down. The gospel sets you free from that. The gospel says, man, you're already accepted by Jesus. You've got the blessings and the peace of Jesus Christ, and it's not even based on who you are. And so you don't have to do that anymore. The gospel sets you free to appreciate people and respect them, okay, and even listen to them. It's like if you were a professional football player, okay, you would never say anything good about the other team. You just don't do that. But once you retire, okay, you get hired by one of these networks, you're up there working in the booth, okay, you're safe now. Your career, it's in the books, okay, it's in the record books. You're safe and you're secure. And now you can say, yeah, those guys are pretty good. They're doing some things well. It's the same way in Christ. If you are in Jesus, you are forgiven, you are accepted, you have all God's blessings and peace. You're free to appreciate other people. Yeah, you know, you do have some things to offer. You do see some things I don't see. You know, I thank you. I appreciate you. Okay, the gospel sets you free to respect and honor and appreciate other people. Okay, in verse 2, Paul says, I went up because of a revelation and set before them the gospel, though privately before those who seemed influential. Paul's talking about the other apostles. And he's saying, I recognize that those other guys, they're apostles and they have influence. And so I can respect them and I can listen to them. I can tell them what I'm doing and I can let them hold me accountable. Even though I'm an apostle myself and I've got a message directly from God, I'm secure enough that I can meet with these guys. I respect their opinion and I can listen to them and I'm open to their feedback. You know? It's possible that maybe that's why Paul went to Jerusalem. Maybe it was because he wanted their accountability. Or maybe it's because he wanted to hold them accountable. Okay, keep in mind, Paul is an apostle. And he's got a message from God. He knows the gospel is free. There's no question in his mind. So maybe he wasn't going because he wanted the other apostles to hold him accountable. Maybe he went to Jerusalem because he wanted to hold them accountable. Okay. Paul says that he went to Jerusalem and met with the apostles in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. Imagine you're Paul and you're going out to people who are not Jewish and you're telling them, hey, you're welcome in Christ. You're in. As long as you believe in Jesus, you don't have to follow the old customs. You don't have to do the ceremonial washings. You don't have to be served. Hey, you're in. Imagine, what if Paul was telling people you're in? What if back in Jerusalem, the other apostles were saying, no, you're not. What if Paul was telling people, hey, you don't have to get circumcised. You don't have to follow. You don't have to change your diet. You don't have to do all those things. What if the other apostles were back in Jerusalem going, yes, you do. See, Paul was not concerned about whether these people were accepted by God. He knew they were. He had that clear in his mind that the blessings and the peace of God are free in Jesus. He knew they were accepted by God. I think Paul's question is, would they be accepted by other people in the church? Would people who were not Jewish be accepted by the Jewish Christians? What we see this morning, the gospel, it sets you free. Okay, it sets you free to respect people, to appreciate other people, even to open yourself up and be vulnerable to them. The gospel sets you free to even admit when you're wrong. Okay? If your life is based on being right all the time, you can never admit you're wrong. But if God's blessings and peace are not based on you being right, based on what Jesus has done, then I'm free to say, yeah, I'm wrong sometimes. Sometimes I really mess things up. Okay? The gospel sets you free to be able to respect other people and to honor them and to listen to them and even admit their and accept their counsel and their advice without being enslaved to them. Verse 3, Paul tells us his meeting in Jerusalem went well. Even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Okay? Titus was not Jewish. At least his father wasn't Jewish, so he wasn't circumcised. Okay? Paul meets with these other apostles, and he says, listen, I've been telling everybody that the blessings and peace of God are free in Jesus, and you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to follow the Jewish traditions. And Paul says, that meeting went well because I had Titus with me and nobody tried to pressure him to be circumcised. So he says, that meeting went well. But, verse 4, he says, there were false brothers secretly brought in. That's not the meeting in Jerusalem, but throughout the church, there were some people who were not really Christians. They were Jewish, and they pretended to be Jewish Christians, but they really weren't. He says they were fake or they were phony, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so they might bring us into slavery. Okay, remember in the Old Testament, the Hebrews, the Israelites, sent spies into Jericho to spy it out so that they could then go in and conquer it. Well, Paul says this is what happened. There were some fake Christians, and they were pretending to be Christians, but all they were doing was really kind of coming into the church to spy it out because they wanted to enslave us. Okay? Basically, there were people who were saying, okay, they were Jewish people, and they were saying, hey, you believe in Jesus? That's great. But if you really want to be righteous, you know, if you really want to be one of us, you got to learn these old customs. You know, if you really want to fit in, if you really want to understand what it's all about, you've got to learn the ceremonial washings. You've got to do that. Imagine if you're a grown man and you're being told to really receive the blessings of God, you got to go be circumcised. Imagine being a grown woman and you're told, if you really want to receive God's blessing, you got to learn a whole new way to cook. Well, Paul says those guys, they were fake. And they were just trying to enslave us. Because they were preaching a message of Jesus plus. Okay? Believing in Jesus is great. Plus, you got to do this other thing. And Paul says, beware of this message of Jesus plus. Okay? God's blessings and peace are free. Beware of anyone who tells you Jesus plus. If I told you I was going to give you a car for free. Free. Brand new car. Not one of those in my driveway. A good car, okay? If I said it's free, plus, all you had to do is give me a $50,000 down payment, well, it's no longer free. If you say, hey, believing in Jesus is great, that's a start, but to be really righteous, you got to do this, this, and this. You got to dress this way. You got to talk this way. You got to raise your kids our way. You got to look at life. You got to like our kind of music. All of a sudden, it's not free anymore. Now it's Jesus plus something else. And Paul says, beware of Jesus plus. As if Jesus alone is not enough. This is what he says. He says, to them, we did not yield in submission even for a moment. So here's Paul, and he's able to humble himself and meet with the apostles in Jerusalem and be held accountable and explain exactly what he's been preaching. But when it comes to these guys, okay, who are trying to change the gospel, Paul says, I did not give in to them for 1 minute. Okay? See, the gospel sets you free from pride. It frees you up to honor people and respect people, but it also sets you free to be honest. Okay, it sets you free to tell the truth. It sets you free to stand up to people when you have to. Okay. Paul says, we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. See, there's always going to be a difference between Christians and non-Christians. And there's, you know, we're all different, but there's always going to be a dividing line, so to speak. If you're a Christian, you want to marry a Christian, you don't want to marry a non-Christian. But the dividing line should always be at Jesus. Okay? Our temptation is to always be moving that dividing line. That's what's going on here. Okay? Well, believing Jesus is fine, but if you really want to be in, you got to believe in Jesus and you got to be like us. You got to follow our customs and our traditions and do things our way. And so there's always that temptation, even among believers, that we're moving that dividing line, okay, so that you got to be more and more like us if you want to fit in, if you want to be in the cool crowd, if you want to be blessed. Okay, the dividing line must always be at Jesus, okay? If God has accepted somebody, you have no right to reject that person. We have no right to reject someone who God accepts. Okay, you can imagine if you were Jewish back then, these customs are so precious to you. They've been passed down from your grandfather and your great-grandfather and your great-grandfather. And here are these Christians who don't even care about your customs. Well, so what? If God has accepted those people, you better accept them. That's what Paul says. We have no right to reject somebody that God accepts. And if you do, if you begin to add to the gospel, okay, anything you add to the gospel is going to enslave you. This is what Paul says. He says these guys who were pretending to be Christian, but they really weren't, he says they were just trying to bring us into slavery. What he's saying is, if my salvation is based on Jesus, well, then I'm, you could say I'm a slave to Jesus, okay? My whole life depends on who Jesus is and what he's done, but that also means I'm set free of everything else because everything hangs on Jesus. But if blessing really comes by believing in Jesus plus looking cool and knowing church talk and fitting in and having the right background, now all of a sudden, that's what matters, and that's what I'm enslaved to that. I've been to as a pastor, I have to go to all kind of things, and there are some gatherings where all the pastors wear black, very formal suits, and you got to wear a black formal suit to fit in. Okay, that's fine. And sometimes you go to things where all the pastors wear short sleeves, have a little goatee and a little funny haircut, and you know what I mean? There's a certain kind of glasses you got to wear and everything. And that's fine too. I don't care. I wear a black suit sometimes, and sometimes I have a bad haircut. But when you begin to say you've got to do those things to fit in, well, that's all well and good as long as you can do those things. I mean, for the Jewish Christians, well, they were doing it anyway. But to those who weren't Jewish, that was slavery. That's bondage. That's one more thing you got to do before you can enjoy God's blessing. Okay? Anything you add to the gospel, it becomes slavery. And you don't want to be bound to anything but Jesus. The gospel frees you up to be both humble and bold. We're going to see, and we're going to have to skip over a little bit of this because of time. Paul's meeting in Jerusalem goes well. Okay, he says that he meets with the apostles, the other apostles, Peter, James, John. He says they're pillars of the church. Okay, on the one hand, Paul is free to call them pillars of the church. He respects them. He meets with them. At the same time, he's not intimidated by them. He says, well, what they were doesn't matter. God shows no partiality. Okay, so Paul is free to respect them, but not be intimidated by them. He says, they didn't add anything to my message. Some people were saying, well, Paul is right as far as he goes, but he's leaving out some things, you know, the traditions and the other things you got to do. Paul says, no. They didn't add any. The apostles, I said salvation is free, and they agreed, and they didn't add anything to it. Okay, except they said, don't forget the poor, and Paul says, of course, I was happy to do that. The churches in Jerusalem tended to be poor because of persecution and a famine. The churches that Paul was planting tended to have more resources. And so Paul, naturally, when he went around to other churches, he would raise money to help the poor back in Jerusalem. See, you can acknowledge that people are different. Christians are different. They recognize that God, who was working through Peter to minister to Jewish Christians, was also working through Paul, ministering to non-Jewish Christians. You know, you can recognize people are different. You have different callings. Different perspective, different. But Paul says, but they gave me the right hand of fellowship. It was real meaningful. They were different. Paul couldn't have been more different than the other apostles. And different life, different locations, different calling. But they had the right hand of, they were together in Jesus. Okay, his meeting in Jerusalem with the apostles went well. But later, when Peter went to Antioch, it was a different story. Okay, keep in mind, all the other apostles, they got their gospel from God too. So it wasn't that they didn't know the gospel. But there were some issues they didn't have to deal with on the normal basis. They dealt only with Jewish people. So they didn't really have to deal with this question of whether it was okay to not be circumcised. So the question was not really which gospel do you believe, but have you thought through how it applies to non-Jewish people? Well, the apostles, like Peter, were mostly in Jerusalem, so it just wasn't an issue. But then when Peter goes to Antioch, it becomes a problem. Verse 11 says, When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles, but when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. Okay, so Peter, okay, left Jerusalem, he goes to Antioch, and he knows that God's blessings and peace are free. He knows you don't have to follow the Jewish tradition. So he sits with people, Christians, who are not Jewish. Okay? And imagine if you were one of those Christians, what a blessing that would be to have Peter there at the table, slapping you on the back and welcoming you, accepting you. And they were eating together, which means Peter was eating food that wasn't kosher. Okay? He was eating food that wasn't according to ceremonial tradition. He was cool with that. He knew you didn't have to do that. But then later, some people came from Jerusalem, and Peter was worried about what they might think. And so Peter stopped hanging out with the non-Jewish Christians. Stopped spending time with them. You ever have somebody who befriends you? They start to build a relationship with you. They hang out with you until their other friends come around. And then all of a sudden they want to act like they don't know you. All of a sudden they're embarrassed to be around you. That's what was going on. Peter was buddy with all these non-Jewish Christians until some Jewish Christians came from Jerusalem. And then Peter began to step back. And he wouldn't eat that food anymore. And he wouldn't sit with those people anymore. Paul says that's a problem. It wasn't just a personal problem. If someone personally befriended you and then they decide they're embarrassed to be around you because you're not cool enough, that's a personal problem. And you can talk to that person in private or you can let it go. But Peter was an apostle. And he was doing this publicly, and publicly it was affecting the church. Paul says, verse 13, the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When Peter stopped eating that kind of food and hanging with those kind of Christians, all the other Jewish Christians did too. And Paul says, we got a problem. So I confronted Peter to his face. Okay, I got all up in his grill. Verse 11, he says, I opposed him to his face. Verse 14, when I saw their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, and that's Peter, before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew. How can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Okay. So Paul confronts Peter publicly and he says, Peter, you're not living like you're Jewish. You know that your salvation is not based on keeping these rules. You know you're the blessing and peace of God are free in Jesus. Well, if you know that, then why are you acting like these other people have to follow all these rules to be blessed? Why are you trying to enslave them? You see what happened here is the gospel frees you up to be both humble and bold. Okay? Some people are naturally humble and meek. You like to be behind the scenes. You don't want to step on anybody's toes. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Okay, that's just your natural temperament. Some people are naturally bold. You're not afraid of anybody and anything. But it's only the gospel that can make you both humble and bold. Humble enough to go and submit to the other apostles and let them hold you accountable, and yet bold enough to confront them in public when you have to. See, that's the gospel. It goes beyond your personal temperament and your personality, and it changes you. See, sometimes we're meek and we're humble because we don't want anybody to think anything bad of us, and we're afraid of what they might think of us. And sometimes we're bold because we don't care what anybody thinks of us. Both cases, it's pride. It's about me. But the gospel's not about you or me. The gospel is about Jesus. It's about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you. And so that sets you free from it being all about you. What you're afraid of or what you care about or what you don't care about. It's all about Jesus. It's all about pleasing him and living for him. And so it sets you free to be humble, to listen, to admit when you're wrong, to take other people's advice, but it also sets you free to be honest and to tell the truth and to stand up to somebody when you have to. See, the gospel sets you free from fear. You don't have to be afraid of what anybody thinks of you because it's not all about you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about who God is and what God has done, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your pride. That's thinking it's all about you, and to pay for your guilt, okay, when we're intimidated by other people. Jesus died to pay for your pride and your guilt so that God's blessing and peace might come to you for free. Not all about you. It's all about Jesus, and that is really good news. God's blessing, God's peace come to you for free. And the more you understand that, the more it should completely change the way you think about and you approach your relationships with other people. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, You know how thorny relationships can be and how complicated. And you know how painful they can be sometimes. Relationships can be such a joy. I mean, we can be on cloud nine one moment, and then in the next moment we're just down in the depths. Lord, you know the role that friendships and relationships, family, these things, what a tug they have on our hearts. And Lord, we all have a lot of room to grow. Help us to understand better how the gospel speaks to our relationships. Help us, Lord, to understand how we've been set free. Set free to live for you. Set free to love, to care, to respect, and also to tell the truth, to stand up for what's right. Lord, help us to understand just how wonderful it is that your blessing and your peace are free. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.